One of our favorite seasons is almost here. And at Lowe's, we're ready to bring on fall. Make that bathroom pop with matte black Moen fashion plumbing and faucets. Bring fresh color inside with a range of Seco paints. And build leaf piles for the kids and maybe yourself with a Craftsman leaf blower. If you're ready to bring on fall, visit Lowe's.ca to get home delivery or curbside pickup. Lowe's.
You're listening to the BBM Global Network with 25 years in broadcast audio and video production. Our passionate team creates content and marketing for the world of internet talk radio. If you've got a passion, come join us at bbmglobalnetwork.com. The BBM Global Network, your voice is now heard.
This is The Conscious Caregiver with author and elder care coach, Carol Ann Hamilton. Caring for uncopable aging parents, feeling stressed to the max, then you've come to the right place. Let Carol Ann restore some serenity by giving you concrete and sound solutions for challenging and aging parents. So now, please welcome the host of The Conscious Caregiver, Carol Ann Hamilton.
A memorable welcome, everyone. I'm Carol Ann Hamilton, and you are listening to The Conscious Caregiver. We're coming to you, as always, live from the BBM Global Network, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasting, and Spotify. And more than ever before, I'd say this is where you get grounded and unique solutions that combine the practical and emotional aspects of how to successfully navigate the elder care marathon in a fashion that is unlike the typical content out there. And today's question to start off with is it possible to keep learning about a parent even after they have passed away? My unequivocal answer is yes. And we will take the opportunity over this next hour to reflect on how that is possible, a decade since my mother's passing on April 17th, 2010. My goodness. Now, many of our faithful listeners have heard the story, as it were, in various forms across 70-plus shows, so I'm not going to bore all of you with a reiteration of the details. However, because folks do keep arriving at our doorstep that are new to my history and work in the world, I might propose to start with where I was at in 2010 and end with where I now stand on the subject in 2020. And in preparing for you today, a structure, so to speak, came to me to divide those 10 years into segments. One would be leading up to and during 2010. The next would be 2011 to 2013, followed by 2014 to 2017. Then we've got 2018 and 2019 lumped together, and now we stand in 2020 and maybe even beyond. So as Julie Andrews sings in one of my favorite movies, The Sound of Music, picture the Von Trapp children in the mountains with her, and it's the song that goes, "Let's start at the very beginning, a very good place to start." No, I won't sing the rest. But there is going to be a meme that I put up onto my Facebook page under Carol Ann Hamilton that is kind of like a take on COVID-19, and it's pretty light and hilarious based on the song. But I digress. So allow me to describe in brief life within my family of origin so that we can arrive at an understanding of why I would ever pen a piece in 2013, 3 years later, that was called "It's Okay to Hate Your Parents." Did I say that out loud? Yes, I did. It was a centerfold and not the type of one you're thinking. Boy, the firestorm that one created when I posted Facebook ads featuring an angry mother phoning her adult children, presumably for about the millionth time that day. And mom was like in a shouting mode in this image. Boy, oh boy. That one drew out the Facebook and internet trolls like nothing you've ever seen before. And I do understand why. However, I'd like to also say on behalf of any child that comes from an uncopable parent, my term, maybe we can understand a little something of, say, childhood and my early 20s. Just this, that when you come from a mother that is paranoid schizophrenic, here's what happens. Shame is absolutely the first sentiment I feel in looking back at all of this, and believe me, I've done it carefully, because how would you ever explain to, you know, classmates, playmates, why you somehow always have these excuses that you can't invite kids over? Well, children that don't derive from that background would probably not at that age group, public school, relate exactly to why is mom kind of getting messages from the refrigerator. You try explaining that. Better you just come up with excuses to keep people away and cope with it on your own. If anything, you cope with it by being a surrogate spouse to your mother. This is very inappropriate, I've got to tell you, in hindsight. And so, you know, it was difficult. Let's just put it like that. Yet, I have to say, early on into this show, my mother did support my German studies, having come from that country of origin. In the dark of night, while my father was sleeping and I was struggling with the language, and she stayed up with me and helped me to compose essays, you know, and somehow it was oddly comforting to do my homework in the kitchen while she cooked. And as I said with my husband the other day, plus ironed sheets weekly, you know, and I was saying, boy, oh boy, housewives, so to speak, of that era, you know, 1950s, 1960s, 1970s. In part, I must admit, because I'm no professional in this realm, but it's no wonder some of those women went a little bit off their centers like my mother did, because picture them formerly being like Rosie the Riveter, helping the war effort, being out of the household, contributing, you know, being productive members of society. And then as soon as things were, you know, back to quote unquote normal, sent back home to iron sheets, do laundry, cook, clean, etc., all day long. Okay, not really great. However, that's from the period that I think I derived also my straight-A student status, because it really was my only form of control in a totally chaotic environment. And I would like anybody listening that can connect with all of this to think about, where did you go with it when things were crazy in the household? And people have often asked me, Carol Ann, how do you have such great listening skills? Well, if you're a counselor to a mother with paranoid schizophrenia at the age of 13, I think you develop some pretty good listening skills, and they do actually stand me in good stead to this day. Now, let's fast forward from the 1970s to my leaving that household to set up my own bachelor apartment in March 1983. And the only two people that accompanied me in that were my husband and my auntie Irma. Nonetheless, my folks and I did enjoy some good years during the 1980s and 1990s, even while, as you know, many of you who tune in, my father was an alcoholic, quite raging at the time. And he would yell from the basement when my hubby Derek came for dates and, you know, kind of pick me up for a few merciful hours to get away from all of that. But then again, I look back with 2020 hindsight, and I now see it was pretty predictable that we were heading for trouble as the 2000s unfolded. And I am in the process of writing some top 10 caregiver peeves, shall we say, at my website of copingwithuncopableparents.com. And I think they are a cautionary tale, even if your background does not quite match mine. Suffice it to say, what I had imagined leaving for good only came back to roost, and that's why it was so devastating to receive my father's pleading call in early February of 2010, because I knew instinctively right then and there that I was in for it for a whole second round that in many respects became exponentially worse than round one. And so, you know, you think, well, growing up with mental health challenges and drinking, do you mean to tell me elder care was worse? Yes, because we'll kind of review on either side of our break what happened on the day that my mom passed on Saturday, April 17th, 2010, and then we'll address her service. A great place to pause. I'm Carol Ann Hamilton. You're listening to The Conscious Caregiver. We're coming to you live from the BBM Global Network, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasting, and Spotify.
Have you ever felt like no one is listening, or you're not getting the honest attention you deserve? Do you even know the kind of attention you want or need? You are not alone. Alice Aspen March is here to help. Thanks to Alice, through her epiphany and research over the word attention, there are solutions to the attention dilemma. Worldwide audiences have been enthralled and engaged for over 40 years with her visionary and pioneering observations. The kind of attention we get and give is vital to improving our lives and society. Alice and her weekly guests review game-changing insights for transforming and improving our understanding of attention, providing techniques for creating healthier and empowering behavior. Get a new perspective on a mainstream word. Tune into Why Our Attention Matters for fresh and thought-provoking conversations every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern on boldbravemedia.com and the TuneIn Radio app. If you seek a courageous advocate, prepare to champion your rights with consumer service agencies that support aging populations, Carol Ann Hamilton is the one for you. Carol Ann is an elder care coach, author, and speaker with a 250,000 hours lived experience successfully supporting uncopable aging parents. As a result of a challenging journey, Carol Ann revolutionizes how stressed out caregivers restore serenity to their worlds. She also brings over 25 years of change management expertise in Fortune 500 settings to catalyze urgent transformation within the elder care industry. Carol Ann is a popular speaker at conferences across North America. She has appeared via TV, radio, and print globally. Now you can tune in weekly to get a dose of her inspiration, plus down-to-earth advice to cope with even the most difficult aging parents. Listen Wednesdays at 9 a.m. Eastern on Bold Brave Media and TuneIn Radio.
And folks, welcome back to our show today that I call A Decade Since Mom's Passing. And my description will really be about how I reminisce upon 10 years since my mom's transition. And this is despite our very checkered history, and also covering, though, the things that I have learned in the meantime. So you're listening to The Conscious Caregiver. We're coming to you live from the BBM Global Network, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasting, and Spotify. And I'm, of course, your host, Carol Ann Hamilton. And so we just left off before the break, having set in context a little bit about my childhood and early 20s. And we left off at the date that my mom passed away on Saturday, April the 17th. And I was just back from delivering a workshop out in Denver back to Toronto and trying to just get some rest. Meanwhile, the phone is ring, ring, ring. And at first it's a police constable on the line saying, I have your father here. And I'm like, what? And then he comes on the line and he starts to say, I regret to inform you, Carol Ann, I knew what the rest of the sentence was going to be. And so that catapulted an immediate summoning together, as it were, to drive 45 minutes, my husband and I, to my parents' home to help my dad, because the coroner had come by that time, if I recollect correctly, and yet my mom was still at home, as it were, in the back bedroom. That was kind of weird. It's the closest I'd ever come, really, to death in a certain fashion. And my dad is freaking out, of course, and we're trying to figure out, okay, what do we do here? Because nobody has any idea. If somebody was to ask me now, Carolyn, would you know actually what to do? First, second, third, fourth, fifth step, if something like that were to happen? Yes. I now can help others, and I do that with my coaching clients in the elder care realm. There's much to attend to, and our emergency situation was no time to be doing just that. In the intervening week, all I'll say is that it was a whirlwind, going with my father more than once to the funeral home, making her arrangements for her service a week that Saturday. Really, a pitiful small group gathered, and that was so sad for me in hindsight, but I kind of understood it, to be honest with you. So anyway, you know, what would I want to say further? None of this is being expressed today to garner sympathy, and I do mean sympathy, not even empathy or pity, but just to give voice to equally disenfranchised adult children toward whom society appears to give no tolerance to speak their truth. And over here, this show has always been and always will be a free permission zone. And so I'm really hoping that I am providing relief to those who have been disallowed your feelings until possibly even now. If I'm creating offense with some folks, so be it. All I can say is if you're offended and you're, you know, in that category, then thank your lucky stars that you did not have such a toxic family unit for yourself. All I know is that I plan to be increasingly transparent about my family skeletons, and some of those who tune in know exactly what that is or what the phrase means when we say we are only as sick as our secrets. And so I think it's important to speak to April 2010 before we move on and just share my top 10 feelings about my mother at the time. Now, note that they have changed, but I hope on the little that I have shared so far, gotta say, my number one feeling was hatred, because I did see her as the cause of all of my woes. You know, it's like, kind of, do you, at that time, do you blame Dad for his alcoholism? Do you blame Mom for her paranoid schizophrenia? And back and forth it bounces. But, you know, I just couldn't see him exactly as the problem, so I had to locate my feelings somewhere, and I guess they landed upon her shoulders. And thus, I had as number two, bitterness, because I do feel I lost my childhood to the woman. I was also annoyed, because I see my mother, if anybody understands this term, as having been a new soul, whereas I'm an old soul. And in many regards, she was quite immature, even narcissistic. She was the first narcissist of many that I have been exposed to in my life. And thus, I felt her to be a burden, because I was like, once I moved away from home to that first apartment, I'm like, I'm out of here. I've done my share. Bye. Thus, it was resentment that characterized my feeling about sort of my father as we went along, because I thought, man, it's your job to take care of your spouse, not mine. I was frustrated over my mother's incompetence in many regards. I was disgusted, and I don't care how bold and stark this really is. I was disgusted over her behaviors as she had to go to the local hospital on a biweekly basis for certain treatments, and both of them were pretty unattractive and bad. Let's just leave it there. But I noticed that not everybody held her the way I necessarily did, so that was noteworthy. And I was genuinely sad that so few people showed up to her service, and you know, it was hard to render some kindness, but I would repeat what I said on that day, but I would have added other recognitions of the woman, and they are coming. And I was most assuredly annoyed by my father's form of narcissism, where he was more interested to talk with his old school buddies than to actually honor his wife of 50 plus years who had just passed away. Oh my goodness, let's not even go there. Now, let me just see here. But as baseball legend Yogi Berra says, it ain't over till it's over. And so there is more to say. We come to Life with Father from April 2010 to fall of 2011. And we did have some good times together, some good gardening. I was even able to travel the balance of that year. It's just that 2011 is the one that dawned with dreaded grocery trips now, but they were still manageable. And by fall, we were de-escalating. So let's stop there. You're listening to The Conscious Caregiver. We're coming to you live from the BBM Global Network, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasting, and Spotify. I'm your host, Carol Ann Hamilton.
If you seek a courageous advocate, tune into It's All About You with host Dr. Martha Latz, a lively weekly broadcast on BBM Global Network, one of the most empowering shows for time-starved, overscheduled multitaskers. The professional expertise of Dr. Latz is directly available live every Thursday at 1 p.m. to answer and address concerns about relationships, life transitions of career, meeting, dating, and committed relationships. It's All About You with Dr. Latz will expand your understanding of current concerns across your relationships by broadening and expanding possible solutions in developing skills for mutually desired outcomes. Dr. Martha's expertise is as a licensed marriage and family therapist, life, transition coach, and all things to do with communication at work, home, and with friends. Check out her website at auniquetherapycenter.com.
Certified professional coach Pamela Reeves can help you with your relationships. Motivational and image coaching are just some of the ways she can help you enhance all aspects of your life. Her book, Is It Love or Merely a Sick Attachment?, helps readers clearly distinguish healthy, loving relationships from toxic ones. Ms. Reeves has put her words into action through Ray of Hope Kenya, an international initiative that provides outreach to victims of abusive relationships there with the goal of helping them rebuild their lives and the tools to avoid abuse. Ms. Reeves operates various business interest through her umbrella network, Nella LLC, and credits her success to her diverse work experience. Whatever your goals, whether striking a balance, reinventing your image, or simply lifting your lifestyle, Pamela Reeves will help you achieve them. Your life, your call. Dial 410-902-5715 or email Pamela at pamregeo1 at verizon.net. She's also on the web at pamreeves.com and on Twitter at Pamela_Reeves.
So I wonder, are you still hanging in there after only a couple of segments regarding my parental jury and especially my mother? Boy, oh boy. Well, either way, we're coming to you live from the BBM Global Network, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasting, and Spotify. I'm Carol Ann Hamilton, and you're listening to The Conscious Caregiver. So I was just starting to talk about life with my dad in 2011, and by the fall of that year, things were going downhill because he had an episode kind of pressing on the gas rather than the brake, backing out of the driveway of the home in which I grew up, and it was a nightmare to set up joint account banking with him and to pay bills. And so we kind of get to 2012 and my dad's hospitalization on July the 23rd, leading up to his own passing on August the 26th. And that whole 6 weeks was just a nightmare too. I want to especially put on air, because this will be recorded forever, and as almost like a consumer activist or advocate, I want this recorded, that I had one of the worst conversations of my life with a social worker during that period, where she was insistent to want to put my father into long-term care because he was starting to be considered what the medical system does not want to think about, but is true. He was starting to become a bed blocker. What a pejorative term. And I think in light of COVID-19 and how that relates nowadays, certainly in Canada, and it may be true in the US also, that we are having horrendous stories come out about passings in long-term care facilities. It almost kind of makes me understand why my dad had such an aversion to those kinds of environments, because I'll just say this, it was not good. And then we came to the fall of 2013, putting the keys for the last time in the doors of the house that my parents had owned for 50 plus years. And that was a big transition, but almost superseded by the one that was our own, moving out of our house. Right through 2014 to 2017, that's where we're at chronologically, and what a massive process that still is to this day. Deciding what to keep, what to discard, how to clean out a hoarder's environment, etc., etc. And I definitely say with people always, this will be a real opportunity, maybe in disguise, to decide what has meaning for you. For example, photos or representative items from each parent. I would say in hindsight that that whole period of cleaning our home, you know, reducing what we no longer needed, consolidating my parents, it was quite the trip down memory lane. And I would recommend, if I had only one thing to say about that, that it will bring up memories. And I invite my coaching clients to be prepared that you will need to confront it in all its glory. I know folks who can't, after decades, still deal with it. One of those is my own cousin, whose parents passed away in the early 2000s. So what are we at now, over 20 years later? And he still can't confront the paperwork, etc. Well, I'll tell you something, that will eventually become a burden that weighs him down too. And if I had one piece of advice for him, I'd be saying, let's get you marshaled to deal with this once and for all, because it's not healthy to hang on in various definitions of that term. So we kind of come to, how did I then start to feel about my mother during that interim period, shall we say, the one where I'm now going item by item in their household. And there are no words to describe what it is like to sift and sort through five decades of morass, an inch at a time, and to try to make sense of it pretty much solo. I can't even emphasize that enough with people. But I did come to realize these top 10 things about my mother, which were much more appreciations or gratitudes, because I discovered photos and really realized about her spirit that the woman had quite the pioneering courage. She came to a new land from Germany with little more than the clothes on her back as she arrived, I think it was in Halifax, Canada, was her first docking station before she came to Toronto. And certainly when she discovered that she was expecting me, I was wanted. And there are many children that cannot say that. And that's pretty moving to me. If anything, she wanted a sibling for me. My parents were older in life at the time when they had me. And you know what? I'm kind of glad I didn't have a sibling after I hear the stories from all of my friends with siblings. Okay? Kind of glad I'm an only. Thank you. The woman was very exacting. Well, that had its critical components, but when it came to labeling the photos and really itemizing them, shall we say, that was fantastic that she was so detail-oriented. She was also very creative. We did childhood projects constantly together at special occasions throughout the year, as well as just in general of a day while I was growing up. I'm talking when I was between the ages of 6 and 12, for sure, anyways. And she always tried to make it nice because she and my dad valued occasions. And I think that's probably due to the eras that they were born, her in 1920 and him in 1922. Think about it. We'll say some more about that in a minute. Kindness is where I learned from her. Now, as a kid, you can just imagine that when I used to get, you know, gifts and cards and stuff from family members, the woman would sit me down and she said, okay, now you have to write a thank you note to so-and-so. So I'd be like, dear Auntie Irma and Uncle Paul, thank you so much for the lovely Christmas card that you sent me and the money so that I could go and buy myself a nice gift that I would enjoy. Oh boy, did I ever resent it. But it's how I come to be kind with friends nowadays. So I think I actually like that and I thank her for that. As I was in my 30s, she offered to support me. I was now married, and she still thought that I needed mothering, like offering to do the ironing of my blouses, because I was not wearing polyester at the time. They were cotton blouses. But, you know, kind of part of me thought, little too little, a little too late. Let me just get on with my life. But I did come to admire qualities that I've already cited. And I definitely remember doing an exercise from a book called The Celestine Prophecy, where you pick one quality from a father, one from a mother, and you combine them. And I came up with caring teacher. My dad was literally that, and she was the caring one. I think that's a perfect note just where we can pause for now. We're coming to live from the BBM Global Network, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasting, and Spotify. I'm Carol Ann Hamilton, and you are listening to The Conscious Caregiver.
According to the American Nurses Association, there are approximately 3.5 to 4 million nurses in the United States. So where do all these nurses work? What kind of roles do they have? What kind of education and training help to prepare them for so many different settings? What kind of impact do nurses have on patient outcomes? The World Health Organization has announced that 2020 will be the Year of the Nurse, honoring the 200th birth anniversary of Florence Nightingale. An international initiative called Nursing Now is underway to raise the profile of nursing. The National Academy of Medicine has convened a committee to create the Future of Nursing 2020 to 2030 that will focus on how the nursing profession can create a culture of health, reduce health disparities, and improve the health and well-being of the U.S. population. Learn more and join Joyce Batchelor on All About Nursing, Wednesdays from 7 to 8 p.m. Central Standard Time on the BBM Global Network.
Have you ever wondered why some children recover from their symptoms of autism while others never seem to get any better? After 13 years of research, Karen Thomas has recovered her own son from his symptoms of autism naturally. She now shares how she did it with you in her free webinar so that you can have the right resources and knowledge to help your child. The definition of recovery is to regain health. Karen offers this to you in four stages: healing the gut, natural heavy metal detoxification, balancing the co-infections of autism, brain support, and repair. Register now for this free webinar to help you know what you can do to help your child to sleep better, be more calm, improve focus, and reach their fullest potential to live a happy, healthy life. Go to naturallyrecoveringautism.com/free workshop, empowering parents with the resources to naturally recover autism from a mom who's done it.
So, folks, are you still hanging in there for this odyssey? I'm your host, Carol Ann Hamilton, and this is the Conscious Caregiver Show. We're on the BBM Global Network, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasting, and Spotify. And so we're just talking today about a decade since my mom's passing. And as we round the bend toward part two of this broadcast, bet you anything loyal listeners can maybe take a guess at the type of rhetorical question I'm going to ask next. And it's this: the coach in me invites you to reflect on what you might be learning for yourself first and foremost today. Forget about me, because your experiences may not even match mine. In fact, it's a particularly interesting combination where I've found lots of adult children to be born of alcoholics, but I've still found less than a handful who have experienced mental health challenges with their moms. Nonetheless, I was just reviewing how my perspective on my mother started to shift as we were in the years between 2014 and sort of 2017. And I was saying that I had gotten from her the quality of caring, because she was that caring and teacher from my dad. And despite all of her challenges and foibles, the woman did care. And she really did have a sense of beauty and artistry that I believe has translated into some of what I enjoy about life these days myself. So whether we revile or not, as I used to, coming to the parents that we did, I have come to grow in my appreciation of what she brought. Basically, the woman had taste. And I just have to extract this little thing. Now, the movie Gone with the Wind is quite a devastating account of the Civil War era, and it does no justice in how it portrays the slaves. There is, though, a little scene where they are packing up to flee Atlanta, to go northward, and the house slave, God, I hate using that term, slave, Prissy is charged with packing up the family's china. And I was thinking to myself how carefully my mother had wrapped up a Japanese tea set motif that would have had to travel with her from her hometown to Canada and be intact with all of that, whereas Prissy's chinaware packing kind of resulted in everything crashing on the inside of the trunk. And believe me, because my German grandparents and the family had to flee their hometown, I can't really imagine how they managed to keep intact even something like the tea set. Well, you can picture that that's one of my most treasured possessions to this day. No wonder the woman got mad at me when I broke one of the lids on the pots as a kid. But she wound up being able to repair it, so that was good. Anyway, we're now about 8 years chronologically since my mom's passing, and that's my point here, that there is always something to learn, and it's well beyond when the proverbial society, you know, like whose society would have expected you to move forward. So let's go there next, because 2018 was huge for finishing off with a storage locker in which we housed both our overflow possessions from our house while moving into this condo unit here, and also my parents' possessions that I could just not make decisions anymore on. My head was too full. And so I noticed a bunch of things personally and family-wise. And it's really only in 2019 that I was able to come to reading what was a handmade booklet that my mom had gifted me with on my 34th birthday. So are we talking like pretty close to 30 years before I was actually able to open this handmade booklet consisting of drawing, because remember, she was very artistic and she had her own drawings of what the home that they fled looked like on the interior and exterior. And she had a few postcards interspersed there too, but it was really in her perfect penmanship. Do you expect anything else from a German mother, please? That I finally sat down of a summer's eve last year and read the thing cover to cover. Now, I'm actually going to reach for it in just a moment here, because I would like to read you just one page that is quite representative of her memories growing up. Here we are. This is the little section that's called My Public School. We lived very close by, just across the street. The school was built on a square planted with many chestnut trees. The school's name was Seidenschule. This school was Catholic, and only 4 classrooms were made available for Protestant children. There was never any friction between the Catholic or the Protestant children, but no gym facilities were available to us in this building. We had to walk across to the lower city to Pestalozzi School. This was a large red brick building with a modern gym and auditorium. Often we saw, with movie projectors, nice films in this auditorium. I love the German construction of the sentence. Anyway, Pestalozzi is the name of the man who established the public school system in Germany and made it mandatory. He was an authoritative personality. Oh my God, I cannot read it without laughing over some of the charm of this. I believe to most German people, his name is familiar. At least it should be. My public school teacher was Fräulein Herzog. Due to the fact that her father, who was a medical doctor, delivered me, she had a very soft spot for me. Dr. Herzog was our family doctor in Schweidnitz. He also helped and treated Opa, Grandpa, a lot when Opa returned from World War I full of rheumatism. Dr. Herzog's house and practice was only a stone's throw away from our number 5 Kaiser Wilhelmstrasse. Perfect. I'll talk about that more in a second. Stay tuned. I'm your host, Carol Ann Hamilton, and this is the Conscious Caregiver Show. We're on the BBM Global Network, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasting, and Spotify.
Did you know that your beliefs create your entire reality? But it's the subconscious beliefs that do most of the creating. Belief shifter and life coach Shiraz can help you identify those limiting beliefs and eliminate them, often in a single session.
Like, it was almost instant, like I had relief right away.
Creating better health, relationships, careers, and finances. Let Shiraz help you step out of safety and into awareness.
Definitely something's happening. It's like a flow inside. Yeah, it feels good.
Whether in person or online, Shiraz provides personal coaching, belief shifting. Visit Shiraz at energeticmagic.com or call 416-529-7429. Energetic Magic on the BBM Global Network, Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern. Find your greater happiness. Be well. Be aware. Be magical.
Renaissance woman, trailblazer, maverick. Those are just some of the words to describe Tashandra Poulard, owner and CEO of House Virgo Entertainment, LLC, a woman minority veteran-owned entertainment company based in Washington, D.C. Ms. Poulard served 10 years honorably in the United States Navy and departed from active duty to pursue her dreams of becoming an entertainment mogul. House of Virgo Entertainment offers script writing, producing, directing, DJ services, editing, and more. They cater to businesses, corporations, college students, working professionals, aspiring artists and nonprofit organizations, and employ veterans of the armed forces. Tashandra Poulard is pioneering the way we view media and taking her brand global. Visit her at www.houseofvirgoentertainment.com or call 281-515-3740 and like her on Facebook at House of Virgo Entertainment, LLC.
And we are returning today to our broadcast on a decade since Mom's passing and all of its reminiscences. This is the Conscious Caregiver Show. We're on the BBM Global Network, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasting, and Spotify. I'm your host, Carol Ann Hamilton. And just before that last pause, I was sharing with you just one page from this handmade booklet that my mom created for me. It's quite something, and I can tell you without a word of a lie that at any time across the 30 plus years that I've basically possessed it, if you'd have asked me, can you locate that booklet in 1 minute or less, always I knew where it was. Just because I did not have the gumption to read it until so many years after she had gifted it to me did not mean that I did not value it. That was really about me. And I just am so deeply thankful to have such a memento. The only thing that I really remain forever sad to not have learned about is her history beyond high school, because she would have been in 1939, she would have been 19, right? And so, you know, she had been able to travel to England, for example, to stay for about 6 weeks with a friend on an exchange program. But then things got worse. You know the story. And so the friend could not travel to Germany to equally stay with my mom and her parents. And, you know, but on the other hand, while I will never appreciate the denial, because you can hear from that one page that she really does portray things in the fashion she wants to remember them. And that's not unlike a parent who lived through World War II. I understand that. But, you know, more than ever before, I've been watching various shows and or movies. And, you know, Jojo Rabbit this past winter was quite deeply affecting for me. And so I just can see a lot of parallels, shall we say, between that era and in history and now, because my mother would have turned 90 this year. There was actually a lady who turned 110 a few weeks ago in California. And when I did a calculation, she was actually on planet Earth during the Spanish flu. So we'll say some more about that in just a moment too. But as our time window does start to narrow, I want to also share some 10 things, shall we say, that I lastingly appreciate about my mother. And those include, number one, in light of COVID-19, I do better understand the era in which she arrived, because my grandmother would have been carrying her throughout 1920, and the flu extended from January 1918 to December of 1920. So that's a pretty difficult period in which to be expecting, and many moms are these days and or have just had babies. I know some. So it's just tough all around, but I really understand what she came to, because that leads to the formative years of the Depression and the buildup to World War II. I mean, my mom would have been 19 to 25 years old. It's very pivotal an age group while you're trying to establish yourself. And yet there's that, right? It was close to the same for my dad, 2 years younger as he may have been. So it's really had me pause to think about that particular generation. I thus now further understand what my cousin strove to impart with me when we drove around Germany in the summer of 2009. And he was pointing out that bedding on the railway tracks, like around Berlin, was created from the bombed out homes, like as in they drowned it up. And that's what constitutes the bedding of railway tracks. So it's just hard. Anyway, I now understand why she probably chose not to speak of World War II. There was a fantastic 60 Minutes show recently, and it was basically some hologram photography where they were interviewing survivors of concentration camps to share their stories, and it would create for students in many, many years into the future an interactive opportunity to ask these survivors before they had passed what their whole experience was like. I think that's very important and very educational, despite the background that I come from. And I'll tell you, the woman was ahead of her time. Now, at the moment, it was a bit annoying because she had this phase where she was into juicing at one point. And, you know, when she got on a kick, it's like you couldn't easily get her off of that. Okay, I know that there are friends listening in and they're thinking, yeah, and who does that resemble, Carol Ann? Uh-huh. And also, she was very interested in the environment. Rachel Carson, The Silent Spring, I think, was one of her books from the 1970s that she quite enjoyed reading. Think about it for a moment. So I kind of said this earlier, but I honestly understand what caused what I thought to be her craziness, because, you know, she wasn't exactly a Rosie Riveter, but she had been a translator for the American military in Germany before she emigrated in 1953. She had even been a librarian. Isn't that a hoot? I can see it with her exactitude. But, you know, she was certainly of that era of the Rosie Riveter ladies. And then she married my father. Oh, boy. Yet she did something that I have yet to master at the age of almost 62, and that was learning how to drive. She did it for me, to take me to lessons. Boy, oh boy, I understand what that would have taken. And she has left me lasting gifts like the graciousness. And so no matter what our contract on a soul level may have been, I do now understand why I chose her. And I know many people disagree with me about that idea that we choose our parents. And that's cool. I get it. But I do accept that I chose her and that I learned many valuable lessons in hindsight. So I do hope that I'm starting to show, can we learn something about a parent even after they have been gone for a decade? And so that's why my answer is an unequivocal yes. I think that it's fascinating that we are right now in 2020 and living during challenging times, because having been born in 1920, I certainly do see parallels, 90 years later or 100, whatever. Anyway, point is that I see the parallels between then and today. It goes beyond the scope of this show, necessarily the time we also have available. But that could be something that really people could pay more attention to, not just for the Spanish flu necessarily, but also geopolitically. Anyway, on that note, we're going to round the bend. And this is the Conscious Caregiver Show. We're on the BBM Global Network, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasting, and Spotify. I'm your host, Carol Ann Hamilton.
MJ Domit is the owner of Expect to Be Empowered, a company whose specialty is empowering people to live their best life by following their heart and accepting themselves unconditionally. After studying and making personal changes, MJ now focuses on giving others tools for self-empowerment. She provides individual and group workshops for people who are physically, emotionally, and spiritually blocked. Inspired by her work at Expect to Be Empowered, MJ authored the book Waves of Blue Light, Heal the Heart and Free the Soul, with accompanying empowerment cards. She is a Spirit Book of the Year Gold Medal Living Now Book Award winner. And her book is a number one Amazon bestseller in spirituality and was a 2012 Gold Medal winner, recognized as the Living Now Spirit Book of the Year. An inspirational speaker, MJ will show you how you can repurpose every area of your life. Your life did not just happen to you, you chose it, which means you can change it. Visit www.expecttobeempowered.com or call 866-264-8024. Global Glory, that's the work of Dr. Marina McLean, COO of Global Glory, whose calling is to serve God. A first-generation British-born Londoner of Jamaican descent, Dr. McLean inherited the hunger for the word from her father, who was a Bible teacher. Growing up, her home was filled with missionaries from the Caribbean islands and America, and she travels the world preaching the gospel. She has a Bachelor of Arts degree in theology and an honorary doctorate of divinity and Christian counseling from Friends International Christian University. Dr. McLean is also a songwriter and recording artist, and her songs are written during summits and conferences in the presence of God. She's recorded 3 worship albums to date and is in ministry for 28 years alongside her husband, Dr. Rennie McLean, who shares her passion. Visit www.globalglory.org or on Facebook at Global Glory. Call 866-244-5679 and feel the glory.
And now our time window narrows. As always, we're on the BBM Global Network, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasting, and Spotify. I'm your host, Carol Ann Hamilton, and this is, of course, the Conscious Caregiver Show. So I think I've done a pretty good job of bringing together today this retrospective, if you would, on the 10-year anniversary of my mother's passing. And you've rather witnessed where I started. And again, I agree. It was not my most attractive moment in how I held the woman who gave me life. And I'm thankful to her for that. Not at the time, did I, when she passed away a decade ago. But midway, you likely observed some shifts. That was literal during this show and also in my own journey. And I can really say that I do now see her life's trajectory in a larger light. Never will I negate the truth of those who remain incomplete with the woman who gave them birth, no matter what. This is a free permission zone. I have not changed my stance about unculpable parents. It's just that I've come to see it from a bigger picture perspective. And so, you know, I'd really, in preparing to close, I'd invite you to look at what degree do you or others reflect that deeply upon your lives and the family members in it. If you don't, the coach in me is going to say, perhaps you ought to, because I can squarely tell you that many contemporaries of mine have lost moms over this past while. And if I could just give them one encouragement, it would have been that they got complete with their mother while she was still alive. I was not there on April the 17th, 2010 exactly, but I had put down what we know to be my warrior woman sword, invisibly speaking, as I stood by her bedside, you know, waiting for the funeral folks to arrive. It's just that my point is, it's often said, when is the best time to plant a tree? And the answer to that one at first is 20 years ago. The second best answer is to do it now. And I think, especially again, in light of the coronavirus and all that we are learning about people, true, that are losing elderly parents and they're not even able to say a proper goodbye, like as in visit with them or stay with them or hold their hands, that they at best maybe do it by FaceTime or something like that. There was a woman being interviewed the other night on the news, and she was just like in tears practically over not being able to say bye to mom, right? So let's not get ourselves to that place, shall we? Instead, you know where I can always be located if you want a readiness session with me, but I say it lightly, at copingwithuncopableparents.com or carolann@carolannhamilton.com, because you know that I have argued vociferously about profiteers who are using this challenging period right now to put money into their own pockets instead of being at service. So I just invite you to, you can check out my archives at boldbravemedia.com under shows, The Conscious Caregiver. We're there at Self-Help and Health at Channel 100. So there are lots of places where you can find me, but I do hope that you have benefited from hearing my story in all of its guts and glory, shall we say. Next week, we're going to do something very interesting about cybersecurity and the elderly in light of also those who are taking advantage, namely right now, of COVID-19 scams and schemes. And we're always about equipping you and those whom you love with the information that you need so that you will not be preyed upon. But either way, you hear it coming. You've been strong too long. How about you dare to care with flair? We're on the BBM Global Network, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasting, and Spotify. I'm your host, Carol Ann Hamilton, and this is The Conscious Caregiver Show.
You've been listening to The Conscious Caregiver with host, Carol Ann Hamilton. For a fresh and unique approach to modern caregiving, listen to gain a weekly dose of inspiration and down-to-earth advice, right here on The Conscious Caregiver with Carol Ann Hamilton.
You've been listening to the BBM Global Network. The ideas, views, and opinions of this broadcast are those of the participants of the program and are not necessarily the ideas, views, and opinions of the BBM Global Network Company.
A financial plan requires planning. It's savings, RRSPs, investments, and planning for the unexpected. TD Term Life Insurance can help protect your family's financial future if you were to unexpectedly pass away. You can apply for TD Term Life Insurance over the phone by speaking to a licensed advisor or online. If you're under the age of 55, you could be approved for up to $500,000 of coverage without a medical exam. Conditions apply. TD Term Life Insurance is underwritten by TD Life Insurance Company. Visit tdinsurance.com/termlife to learn more.
One of our favorite seasons is almost here, and at Lowe's, we're ready to bring on fall. Make that bathroom pop with matte black Moen fashion plumbing and faucets. Bring fresh color inside with a range of Seco paints. And build leaf piles for the kids and maybe yourself with a Craftsman leaf blower. If you're ready to bring on fall, visit Lowe's.ca to get home delivery or curbside pickup. Lowe's,